Alright, we're back. Opening his eyes atop his bed, Kyoji stares up at the ceiling. Never before has he woken up feeling this awful. What happened 3 years ago, those memories he wanted to forget, came to him in a dream. That alone was enough to put him in a rotten mood, but on top of that, he dreamt of Yuka and Gore. Kyo-chan, good morning, it's time to... Oh! Yamako peers into his room, only to stare at him in surprise. I'm awake. Kyoji gets up moodily. Just when I came to wake you up instead of Akane-chan. Phewie! How come you're up so early? Nothing, no reason. It doesn't sit well with him to treat Yamako like this, but he isn't in the mood to be teased. Yeah. Yamako looks suspicious, but seems to decide it's better to leave him alone for now as she doesn't press him further. Kyoji puts on his uniform and heads to the living room. Where is he? Who? You mean Yoshiki? He went out. Uncharacteristically, Yamako replies from the kitchen where she stands pouring coffee into Kyoji's mug. Glancing at the table, she's even prepared toast. More than just toast, there's salad, ham, and eggs there too. What's going on? Right as he's about to ask, Yamako narrows her eyes mischievously. What's wrong? What, do you miss him? Huh? Why would I? Kyoji jolts in his seat. I mean, you were up pretty late talking last night, weren't you? He was teaching you to play guitar? I thought you'd be happy to finally have a big brother figure. What, him? Who'd want him for a brother? Hmm? I think you two should get along. You're cut from the same cloth. Cut from the same cloth? Kyoji furrows his brows in an exaggerated manner. But Yamako simply nods with a smile while sipping on her coffee. Yep, you and Yoshiki are very alike. Yoshiki always was a hothead, just like you. You're joking. I'm nowhere near as nasty as he is. That's just time doing its work. Back when he was younger, Yoshiki was every bit like you. You're joking. Kyoji once again repeats inside his head. I'm never gonna end up like him. Falling silent, Kyoji focuses on polishing off his toast. It feels like it's been a long time since he last walked to school alone. Oh, by the way, he still wants to be Yoshiki. I'm sorry. In fact, it's barely been a week since he transferred, including the weekend. There was also the time he argued with Akane and went to school alone afterwards. So it really hasn't been that long, but for some reason it feels weird not to have Akane walking alongside him. Maybe that's because they always used to go to school together before he moved away. Shinta hurries over when Kyoji enters the classroom. Ah, Kyoji, are you alright? Alive and kicking as you can see. Kazuyagi's mom called my house like 100 times yesterday. I heard what happened. The two of you fell into a well? It seems Akane's mother really was quite worried. The three of them often hung out and played together when they were little, so she knows Shinta quite well. That's probably why she called. She was by nature unflappable. When Kyoji saw her in the hospital last night, she was practically laughing with relief. But until he and Akane were found, Akane's mother was likely beside herself with anxiety. With all the disappearances, everyone is already on edge as it is. Shinta shakes his head in exasperation. Seriously, you are one troublemaking couple, you know? You've sure been keeping things interesting since you transferred back. After that casual remark, Shinta suddenly furrows his brow. Oh, but I feel like I always got the short end of the stick whenever I hung out with you and Kazuyagi. That's your imagination.
の上に隠れが作るって連れ出されて、
Nah. Definitely not. We'd go out exploring and I'd be the one who'd get lost, or we'd build a treehouse and then I'd be the one to fall. You're totally imagining things, man. Kyoji taps him on the shoulder before going to his seat. Hey, forget all that. How the hell did you two manage to fall down a well? Shinta sits down on the seat in front of Kyoji, straddling the backrest, and cocks his neck curiously. Kyoji shrugs. Yuka pulled a fast one on us. What? Akane saw Yuka go down the well, got worried, and went after her. But that little brat got out of the well first and closed the lid on us. What? Shinta looks shocked. Wait, you're not saying, like, she just didn't realize you were down there, right? No way. We talked down there, and when she closed the lid on us, she was laughing down at us. Whoa, that's terrible. This is a real surprise to Shinta. He looks aghast. That's crazy. I never imagined a girl as cute as her could be so nasty. I wouldn't just call her nasty. From his point of view, Yuka is far beyond merely nasty and well into the realm of the bizarre and inexplicable. But really, I'm glad you're alright, Kyoji. How'd you get out? Turns out the bottom of the well was connected to a bomb shelter in the next town over. He's cutting out a lot of details, but he isn't lying. The truth is too complicated for him to tell Shinta everything. He wouldn't even know where to start. Wow, that's cool. Kinda sounds like you went on an adventure down there. Shinta whispers. He seems impressed from the way his eyes are sparkling. But Kyoji just shrugs slightly. It wasn't exactly fun. Yeah, figures. I heard Kazuyagi got hurt. Guess she won't be coming to school today. Apparently Kazuyagi-san will be here for afternoon classes. That's what her mom said. Oh, Misono-san. What, did you see Akane's mom? Didn't I tell you? I live next door to Kazuyagi-san. Wow, that means you're not far from my place. How about that? I guess it does. Kika chuckles for some reason. True to what Kika said, Akane shows up during lunch break. Akane, they said you went missing. Oh, jeez. My mom really made a fuss about it. We didn't go missing, we just got stuck at the bottom of a well. Wait, what? The girls form a circle around Akane, giggling and laughing. Kyoji's gaze briefly meets Akane's, but she looks away immediately. Shinta, who's vacuuming up the contents of his bento opposite Kyoji, curiously looks from him to Akane. What? Had another fight? It's not that. But it's true that Akane is acting strange. It must still be bothering her. Let's have us a little taste! Just yesterday, the two of them were forced repeatedly to relive that incident 3 years ago. When Tadashima did it, Akane could act like nothing was wrong, but then Gore had to pull his little stunt, too. Now, I removed that because they went into detail with that scene. First of all, those characters are minor characters by storyline alone in that. And I'm not showing you guys that. I'm sorry. If you want to see that, you can get the game and see that. There's really not a whole lot to it. It's just two kids being forced to have sex with each other by a bunch of crazy students, and it's a tell not show kind of thing. I'd be okay with them describing how horrible it was, but I didn't actually need to see that, so I'm going to that's been cut from this video, or the previous video. I had to do that, sorry guys. It's just, you know, we have to have some standards here. I don't care if you guys look at that on your own time, but obviously BitChute and even the MGTOW.TV that I use, that probably just wouldn't be right to have those featured there. I wouldn't feel right with those featured there. So, you know, it is what it is. That's just my personal... Gotta have some boundaries. And that's definitely a boundary. I don't care about any age scenes now, but the stuff that happened back then when they were young, I didn't really need to see that. Like, I'm good. Like, I get it. I understood what happened. I didn't need to see it. Okay. Speaking of Gore, how did he know about it? Good question. Sadashima probably learned about it from one of Kyoji's old classmates. Akane did say it was a pretty known incident. Pretty well-known incident, so it wouldn't be odd for Sadashima to hear of it. Speaking of, where's Sadashima and his goons? By the way, that's one situation in which the mosaics would have been okay. I know this is hard to say, but because it was a scene where they are actual miners, like having this, having the mosaics there probably would be okay. Like that would, I mean, so you could probably still, well, I mean, I didn't want to see it, but if it had mosaic censorship there and I didn't see the underdeveloped genitals or whatever of the youth, which just, yeah. But yeah, we've cut that out of the video, so don't worry about it. But it's one case that mosaics, one reason that mosaics are used in Japan to cover up those kinds of scenes. It's not just, you know, oh yeah, we want to cover up all, I mean, again, I agree with like the adult people and stuff like that. Yeah, that's kind of stupid. But when you're actually dealing with minor characters, or just, I mean, we know the difference. We know the difference between regular anime characters and underage characters. And yeah, clearly those characters, they, the way they were drawn, yeah, that's gonna be a no from me. Speaking of, where's Sadashima and his goons? Maybe he got his tender little feelings hurt. They went too far yesterday, even by their standards. Even a bird brain like him probably realized he turned the whole class against him. It feels bad to admit that we have to gang up to oppose him, but I guess you could say the same thing about them. Shinta is uncharacteristically severe. By the way, is your arm okay after they twisted it like that yesterday? What? That? It was nothing. I actually feel stupid for being so scared of them. And when I said that to my mom last night, she asked me why it took so long to figure it out. Huh. Shinta does look a little proud of himself, though. Maybe it was all worth it in the end. And then, the Sandman told Sato-sensei. Akane is telling something to the other girls. Kyoji can't hear what it is, but it makes them all giggle. And from what I assume, this game is available on Steam. So you're not saying like, oh, this is a game that, no. It's a game that's literally on Steam right now, I think. I'm gonna go look it up real quick. Yeah, it's on Steam. Yep, it is on Steam. Very positive. It's actually on sale. So yeah, this game has mature, I don't know if this is a... Oh, okay, there's a patch. Okay, so there's a patch that you'll have to get if you choose to, but you'll see that scene, which is okay. I mean, again, that's your jurisdiction, because sometimes with patches, you might see some scenes that you may feel uncomfortable about, and if you do, you know, just skip past them. So, again, I don't want to show you certain scenes that might, you know, upset some of the people. So we try to stay away from Loli Shota, and we try to stay away from any kind of scat. Water sports is pretty much, you can't get away from that in most of these games, so it is what it is. I'm not crazy about urine, but there's a lot of it, and of course there's porn and regular anime and hentai would have that shit. But when it comes to actual, you know, Loli Shota stuff and scat, animals, you know, anything like that, no, I try. We don't really. We don't do that. And that's BitChute and even MGTOW.TV. I don't want to break those rules and just push everything on there, because there's a few things for these novels that are a reason why you should just buy them. Just gotta stand my ground on that, you know? This is why the AVNs probably do better on my channel. They don't really go into that level. In the end, he ends up saying a word to Akane until after school. They've been going home together every day, but he's not so sure if he should wait for her club activities to end this time. With all that weird stuff going on, he doesn't feel safe letting her walk home alone. As he listens to the Sandman's sleep-inducing voice drone in his ear during the day's last homeroom session, he finds himself at a loss for what to do. Thankfully, he's got nothing to worry about. Kyoji, let's go home. He nods, acting like nothing's wrong. I don't mind, but what about your club? I'm taking the day off. She did sprain her ankle the other day, so maybe she needs to let it rest for a while. Akane's expression still looks a little stiff, but Kyoji's relieved that she's at least talking to him. They both head home, actively trying not to look in the direction of the trail leading up to Nishimori Shrine. By the time they reach the downtown area, the cool atmosphere between them seems to have warmed a bit. It feels like going straight home would be a waste, so Kyoji invites Akane to Black Sheep's, and she takes him up on it. They talk about this and that for a while until Akane hesitantly parts her lips. And they got the Mega Man music in the background, old Mega Man X. I mean, it totally reminds me of Mega Man X. Kyoji. She averts her gaze, focusing on stirring her yogurt and jam with her long spoon. What happened to the music? About yesterday. Yeah. She's probably torn between wanting to talk about it and her fear of bringing it up. She seems scared to even mention it. What do you think about, you know? Despite her vague wording, the way her expression darkens tells Kyoji what she's trying to say straight away. You mean, what happened yesterday? Yeah. She raises her hand as she's finally made up her mind about something. It was so strange. That gore guy popped out of nowhere and then vanished, and then there was that squid tentacle that came out of him. She trails off, trying to hide her discomfort with a smile. Akane. I was thinking, Kyoji, maybe all of that was like hypnosis or something. And I'm sure it only looked like he disappeared because of how dark it was. And that gore guy was dressed like a magician. Maybe he's actually some kind of famous performer. Even if it was all in bad taste. Akane says all of that in rapid succession before scooping up a spoonful of yogurt, seemingly satisfied. Was it really hypnosis, though? Certainly common sense would suggest that what happened to them couldn't have been real. People can't just pop in and out of places, not to mention the tentacle thing and how they vanished into thin air. But this is anime world, so you never know. But Kyoji can feel alarm bells going off inside his head. They could just casually write all of it off like that, but should they? He doesn't know why Yuka and Gore did this to them in the first place, and how can they know... And how can they know they won't do anything to endanger Kyoji and Akane again? Assuming it was all hypnosis might only cause them to overlook something important. Kyoji doesn't have a good reason to assume this, but even if it's just his intuition speaking, he feels like he shouldn't ignore it. And yet, maybe it would be best for Akane to forget about all of this. Maybe chalking it all up to hypnosis would put her at ease. Under the circumstances, it's enough for me to worry about this. Yeah, hypnosis sounds like it could make sense. Kyoji manages a thin smile. Right, I don't know what else it could be. Yeah, still, who knows what goes on in their heads? We should stay far away from those two. Yeah, that would be for the best. Akane says this with a smile that looks just as forced as his. Telling each other they'd do this again, they leave the cafe, but after just a short while, a downpour starts. Kyoji did get the feeling it was getting cloudy before they went in, but he didn't think it would actually start raining. It's just a quick shower. It'll be over in no time. That's what they think, but they're wrong. With her sprain, Akane can't run at all. She asks him to leave her and go home, but naturally Kyoji refuses. The rain doesn't stop. In fact, it's shaping up to be a veritable deluge. The closest convenience store where they can buy an umbrella is next to Kyoji's house. At that point, they may as well not buy one at all. Akane, come to my place. I'll lend you an umbrella. Okay. Oh, we're back. He announces coming through the door. Yamako replies at once. Welcome back. You must be wet, Kyo-chan. He hears the hurried patter of feet. A moment later, Yamako appears with a towel in hand. Oh, Akane-chan. You're soaked, you poor thing. Wow, brutal. Before Kyoji's very eyes, she hands a towel she had prepared for him to Akane instead. I'll get you one in a second. Just hold on. Sure. Watching Kyoji and Yamako's exchange, Akane smiles in amusement. Say, Yamako Oni-chan, can I borrow an umbrella? I don't mind, but Akane-chan, you should take a hot shower first. We'll dry your clothes while you're in there. Huh? But my house is right around the corner. Corners can be fatal. You don't want to catch a cold, do you? But... Akane sneaks a glance at Kyoji, who says grouchily, I'm not gonna peek at you. I didn't say that. It was written all over your face. Now hit the showers. Even if you made it home, it would take a long time to heat the water for that bath, right? Your house didn't have a shower last time I was there. It still doesn't. All the more reason. Now off you go. With Yamako pretty much pushing her every step of the way, Akane disappears into the bathroom. Kyo-chan, once Akane-chan's finished, you go take a shower too, understood? Yeah. Spare me the double yeah. You mean just one yes. For the time being, he returns to his room and puts his bag away. He changes out of his uniform and steps out to the corridor just as Yamako comes out of the bathroom. She's probably going to fetch some dry clothes for Akane. She doesn't notice Kyoji as she goes into her bedroom. But by the time Kyoji heads into the living room, he runs into Yamako again, just as she's coming out of her bedroom again, clothes in hand. Oh, Kyo-chan, you didn't peek, did you? Of course I didn't. Good then. Yamako walks into the bathroom with Akane's fresh clothes. He can hear them talking inside. I'll leave your clothes right here. Okay, thanks, Yamako Oni-chan. By the way, Akane-chan, if you get a boyfriend, are you the kind of person to take a bath with him? What are you saying, Yamako Oni-chan? Kyoji slumps his shoulders upon hearing that. What kind of question is that? Let me warn you, if you're thinking of sharing the bath with her, you should give up on the idea. It's not half as fun as you'd think. What the heck? She said something to that effect before. Why is she so fixated on it? She must have had a real bad experience to plant that idea in her head. Yeah, sure. Kyoji glances at the window. The rain only seems to be getting worse. The raindrops blur out the window pane, distorting the image of the house next door. Just what is that guy doing out there in this rain? The thought suddenly crosses his mind. Outside, under the pelting rain, a man in a coat walks along the road. His leather coat, weighty enough as it is, now hangs wet and even heavier upon his shoulders. The rain only intensifies. Despite the shower beginning over an hour ago, he has no intention of seeking shelter or even using an umbrella. His drenched hair hangs over his face. Water droplets roll down the nape of his neck, down his back, and vanish somewhere in the coat. His slender slacks cling to his legs. He looks strikingly cold. No, if he's this wet, the cold droplets are the least of his troubles. He's so indifferent to the bad weather, he doesn't even take off his sunglasses. A kindly lady passing by notices Yoshiki and is about to call out to him. But when she sees the look in his eyes behind his sunglasses, the woman immediately retracts her extended hand and hurries away. They're fixated on something, something that's not really there, as if he were possessed. To him, the kind woman that tried to call out to him, the pelting rain, his hometown shrouded in mist, the nostalgic sights of the streets and the rippling puddles on the sidewalk, all of this is bereft of any meaning. He simply walks while looking intently ahead, his eyes fixed on what's waiting at the end of this one-way street. She's here. A faint whisper, his lips curl up into a slight smirk. A shadow approaches from across the road. At first it isn't even so much as a silhouette, too faint to make out, but its contours gradually grow more visible as it reveals itself. The silhouette seems to be that of a little girl. She walks along the road, relishing the splashing water with each skipping step she takes. Much like Yoshiki, she doesn't seem at all bothered by such intense rain, but the reason for her indifference is nothing like his. He stems from his earnest determination taken to a fault, hers from innocence. Yoshiki calmly stops in his tracks. The figure coming from the other side of the road stops when it seems to notice Yoshiki in turn. A cold, sharp tension hangs between them. Hey, I've been looking for you. We meet again after all this time and you can't even manage a hello? This is why I can't stand a spoiled kid. That's rich coming from you. It's Yuka. She glares at Yoshiki, menacingly raising her small shoulders. You're a pest, you know that? An obnoxious pest. How did you track me all the way here? I'll admit, finding you after you gave me the slip was pretty hard, but I didn't expect you to come here. Always in the last place you look, isn't that right? I don't know, and I don't care about how hard things were for you. On closer inspection, it becomes clear why Yuka doesn't mind the rain. It's because she isn't wet at all. It's like her body is coated by a thin membrane. All the droplets falling around her vanish like they're swallowed by some kind of invisible crack. Are the raindrops avoiding her? Or are they fleeing from her in fright? The sight is so strange, one can only assume it's one or the other. But neither Yuka nor Yoshiki pay any heed to that. Yoshiki stands in the downpour, soaked to his bones. In direct opposition to him, Yuka stands like a small queen, as prim and smug as she is dry. The strange showdown occurs in the middle of the silent neighborhood. Roughly 5 meters separates the two. Gripping the pendant at his chest, Yoshiki speaks with gravitas. Bring it out! Bring out your monster! Yoshiki's lips curl up into a vicious smirk. The moment she glares up at Yoshiki's face, a black cloud congeals behind her. It's sure been a while. Oh, yes, it has! Ugly as ever, aren't you? Gore's body stretches like rubber. In mere moments, his face is right in Yoshiki's. But Yoshiki tears the pendant from his neck and thrusts it at Gore. Gah! Gore's body suddenly warps. It curls up into a ball and bounces like rubber far behind Yuka. Yuka furrows her brow. Not even sparing a look at Gore, who's been thrown to the ground, Yoshiki rushes at Yuka, rainwater splashing into the air all around him. As he lunges towards her, he pulls something from his pocket, a black, glistening pistol. Without any hesitation, he puts the muzzle to Yuka's small head and... Suddenly, a long arm cloaked in black firmly grips Yoshiki's left arm, the one holding the gun. The muzzle jerks away from Yuka's head, now aiming at the sky instead. Smoke rises from the muzzle, trailing upward before vanishing. What just happened? That arm isn't connected to anyone's body. Instead, it extends from a puddle under Yoshiki's feet, the surface of which dances from the raindrops crashing against it. That was close! The voice is muffled, the puddle ripples and froths as if it's boiling. A black image forms across the water's wavering surface. The image gains some depth, breaks the surface, and swells up into a round shape. A shoulder and neck appear, then Gore's mask. It's a strange, impossible sight. There can't possibly be a hole under that puddle, and yet a grown man emerged from it. It's as if he sprouted from the ground, that's the only way to put it. And yet none of those present betray the slightest hint of surprise. The tips of Gore's legs pop out with gravity-defying movements. In the same moment, Yoshiki's body is sent flying back. With a dull thud, he slams against a telephone pole, sending his sunglasses flying. His limp body slumps down to the wet concrete. Ah! Gore's body wobbles, bobbling up and down as he sneers. That's payback! Payback is what it is! Gotta punish bad boys like you, it's only right! Why did you get knocked back like that? I don't know, he had something in his right hand! Yuka takes a step forward. Won't you just leave me alone already? I'm looking for Haikun right now. I don't care about Tsuyumi anymore. I mean, Sayumi's long dead already. Who cares at this point? Who cares? Yoshiki slowly raises his hand. Stop being stubborn. What, do you want me to die that badly? You're being stupid. What's the point of letting the dead drag you down for so long? Just forget about her already. You! You're not the one to say that! You killed Sayumi! Yuka shrugs, heaving a theatrical sigh. You really are a pest. Won't you die already? Only after I bury you, murderer! Oh, come on, I don't want to die yet, though. I could do you a favor and snuff you out after I'm done killing Haikun, though. Yoshiki lifts his arm, trying to line up another shot from his gun. But everything past his elbow dangles powerlessly towards the ground. Ah ha ha ha! Look at your arm, it's bent all wrong. That's hilarious. Yoshiki fumbles with his weapon, trying to put it into his right hand, but before he can, Gore picks Yuka up. He dances with gambling steps. Okay, that's a word I have not heard. Are they saying gambling or gambling? I didn't know that was a word. Refusing to let Yoshiki draw a bead on them as Yuka lets out a loud laugh. Ah ha ha, you know what, Gore? Let's just kill him right now. Eat him up from the head. Don't wanna. Men taste like crap, because they're crappy. Yoshiki somehow manages to lift a gun in his right hand and aims at Yuka. Gore dodges with erratic hops in all directions. Yoshiki's shot only gouges into a nearby concrete wall, sending fragments of it bouncing across the road. Picky eaters get a scolding. A scolding? You're gonna scold me? Well, that's a pickle indeed! With Yuka still in his arms, Gore frantically shakes his head. Yoshiki fires another shot, then another, the recoil smashing his shoulder into the wall as he's leaned against. Soon enough, the fragrance of the rain is infused with the smell of gunpowder smoke. One shot grazes Gore's side, blasting a hole in a telephone pole. The next one pierces his abdomen, or so it seems. But the black cloth there only flutters ever so slightly as Gore lightly hops away, seemingly unscathed. Yoshiki clicks his tongue in frustration. Maybe just a little lick. Maybe I should. Maybe he'll turn out tastier than you thought. Just try it. But his right hand is in the way. It's getting in my way. Right, then let's have you start by doing something about his arm. Yuka lightly lands on the ground, cocking her head with a cherubic smile. Give me the thing you're holding in your right hand. If you do, I'll give you a quick death. It's really pouring outside. I'll just get wet again if I go out now. At least this time you have an umbrella. You can warm yourself up as soon as you get home. You too, Kyoji. And come on, you didn't have to walk me back. Akane frowns. After a shower, Akane spent an hour or so chatting with Yamako while her wet clothes dried out. Now Kyoji is walking her home. Talk all you want, but I can't let you go home alone, not after what happened yesterday. But you'll just get wet again, Kyoji. I'll be fine. I'll just hop in the shower when I get back to my apartment. It's got all the modern conveniences. Well, excuse me for having an old-fashioned bath. Hey, cut that out. Stop waving your umbrella. You're splashing water all over me. What's a little water, huh? What's that about your modern conveniences? The two laugh, twirling around a corner, only to suddenly bump into a man. Whoa! You! It's Yoshiki, cradling his left arm. He shouts at them. Run! Huh? Just run, and don't look back! What are you saying, all of us? Ah! Before Yoshiki can stop him, Kyoji looks behind the man. Kyoji gulps audibly before shouting, What are you doing here? Why are you here? What did you come here for? Yuka and Gore, a ways behind Yoshiki, stop abruptly in their tracks. Yuka's gaze immediately locks onto Kyoji. No questions, just run! Yoshiki shoves Kyoji away with his shoulder. He throws himself between Kyoji and, by extension alone, Akane, who's frozen in place behind him, and Yuka. Kyoji shouts over Yoshiki's shoulder. No, I won't. What were you thinking doing? What were you thinking yesterday, you little? Stay out of this. Yoshiki sharply snaps at him. Let's go, Gore. Yuka suddenly turns around. Wait, you. Yuka and Gore's contours fade into the darkness as if the falling rain has settled into a shimmering layer over them. And then they melt away, vanishing just like they did the day before. They vanished. They truly vanished. What they saw yesterday was real. Are they actually dreaming now, too? Kyoji fearfully looks at the other two. Akane's eyes are wide with shock. She looks as frightened as Kyoji feels. But Yoshiki only stares silently at the space where Gore and Yuka once were. As calm as Yoshiki looks, Kyoji knows he must also have seen them vanish into thin air. I guess you two ended up saving me. The moment that whisper leaves his lips, Yoshiki collapses on the spot. Yetsi-san, your arm! Akane screams, which finally draws Kyoji's attention to Yoshiki's ruined arm. His left forearm is bent at an unnatural angle below the elbow. Kyoji furrows his brow. How did that happen? It's nothing serious. That's bullshit. Did they do this to you? Yoshiki says nothing. He looks like a ghost as he unsteadily rises to his feet. But in the end, he sinks back down against the wall. Sorry, but could you break that branch over there? He uses his good hand to point a thick branch extending from a nearby house's garden. Would you answer my question first? I asked you if they did this to you. Kyoji is so outraged, he looks as if he's about to stomp his feet. Yoshiki only looks at him. Excuse me, Yoshiki only looks up at him calmly. Yeah, now you know. So go and snap that branch off for me already. Ugh! Kyoji bites his lip, but then does as he's told, snapping off the branch. Break off all those twigs. Good. When you're done, give them to me. After Kyoji hands him the branches, Yoshiki then looks up at Akane. I'm sorry, but do you have a handkerchief or something you could give me? Ideally, something you won't need back. Yeah, I do. Akane holds out a handkerchief, which Yoshiki takes with his right hand. He bites into the cloth, tearing it with his teeth. Sorry. I'll get you a new one once everything settles down. Well, not that I can make promises at a time like this. No, it's fine. Yoshiki places the branch Kyoji gave him on top of his leg before using his right hand to grab the wrist of his injured left. His expression turns grim. Something that might be described as superhuman willpower radiates from him. Hey, what are you trying to... But then an indescribable dull sound fills Kyoji's ears. Akane lets out a muffled yelp. Yoshiki has set his broken arm back into its proper position, though the act has left him hanging his head and biting his lip in pain. Kyoji isn't sure what to say to him. As he hesitates, Yoshiki looks up at him, his face restoring its usual expressionless calm. Now, wrap that cloth around my arm with the branch and the twigs, tight. Yeah. Yoshiki's breathing comes in shallow gasps now, but his attitude is still as arrogant and indomitable as it was when he and Kyoji first met. Kyoji hands the umbrella to Akane so he can help Yoshiki as he asked of him. He braces the branch and twigs across Yoshiki's arm, tying it all together while Akane holds the umbrella over them. Hey, tell me what happened. Did those two do this to you? It looks terrible. Kyoji bites his lip. It's infuriating. He doesn't know what happened, but why does Yuka always have to be so horrible to people? Didn't you hear the gunshots? Kyoji and Akane shake their heads. Gunshots? No, wait, don't tell me they shot you. No, I shot them. Kyoji realizes now that there's a bulge on the left side of Yoshiki's coat. He looks like a character from a movie. Why do you have a gun? Because I need it. Yoshiki's words are as curt as ever. After Kyoji finishes splinting Yoshiki's arm, the man immediately gets to his feet. He then gives Kyoji an intense stare. I'm warning you one last time. Stay away from Yukari. He then turns on his heel and stalks away with heavy steps. Hey, hold up! Wait, where are you going? Let Yumikawa know I won't be coming home today, but don't tell her anything. It's still raining. Yoshiki's withdrawing figure grows smaller and smaller. Don't tell me you're not going to the hospital. You can't just leave your arm like that. Kyoji takes a step towards Yoshiki. You can't do that. You can't do that to your arm. Not when you can play the guitar like that. For the first time, Yoshiki steps. Pause. Just forget whatever you're doing and go to the hospital. I don't know what you're up to, but please. Last night, Kyoji, it was just a little bit, but he was happy to hear someone play like that in front of him. Yoshiki is the first man he's personally known who can play like that. Yoshiki cracks a tired smile. I'm not anywhere near as good as you think, but I'll teach you a bit when I get back home. Yoshiki once again turns his back on Kyoji. Kyoji can tell there's no point in chasing after him at this point. Yoshiki's gonna be like a father figure to Kyoji. Yoshiki didn't come home that night, just like he said. When Kyoji gives Yamako Yoshiki's message, she visibly pouts. And after I splurged on dinner, what's his problem? Said dinner is just some pizza. Kyoji silently shoves it into his mouth. Pizza is pizza. I had pizza today. Chacaronis are back. It is that time. There's gonna be a chacaroni every week. And every weekend I'm getting a chacaroni because chacaronis are awesome. I'll be sick of chacaronis by January for sure. According to Yamako, she agreed that Yoshiki could stay at her place in exchange for his cooking. But the way things are going right now, he won't be able to keep up his end of the bargain. When Kyoji returns to his room, he realizes he got a text from Akane. I'm worried, from Akane. I wonder what happened to Yatsuse-san after all that. I'm too worried to sleep, so I figured I'd text you. What are you doing right now, Kyoji? He can't sleep either. Everything that happened is swirling in his mind. Yoshiki's broken arm, his gun, Gore, and Yuka leaving the scene. Kyoji sighs deeply. He sinks into the bed and squeezes his eyes shut. His mind can't keep up with what's going on around him. Just what in the world is happening? I feel like I've been asking myself that question way too much lately. He smiles wryly to himself. Thinking about things that way makes it all a bit easier to swallow. Yeah, in the end, he can't make heads or tails of any of this. Maybe Yoshiki came home after all. Full of hope, Kyoji makes his way to the living room, but Yoshiki is nowhere to be seen. Kyo-chan, ohayo. Good morning, Kyo-chan. Morning. I figured I'd go out today, alright? I might be out when you get home from school, so don't forget your key, okay? Okay. Let's go, Kyoji. Akane comes to pick him up with a glum look on her face. Their conversations keep trailing off. Oh, you know what happened yesterday? Masaru said... She tries to talk to him with a smile every now and then, but her expression always wanes into a frown soon enough. Even Kyoji can tell that she's trying to put up a cheerful front. He wishes he could answer her efforts in kind, but he can't. Now, wrap that cloth around my arm with the branch and the twigs, tight. I'm warning you one last time, stay away from Yukari. He keeps thinking back to how Yoshiki looked yesterday. What could possibly drive him to go that far? The situation seems so bizarre. Kyoji can't imagine living like that. That vision of Yoshiki is burned into Kyoji's mind. It looked like Yuka went after him. He told Kyoji to stay out of it. Just what happened between them? Just who is Yuka? Good question. That question continues to haunt Kyoji during class. It fills his thoughts even while they're having sprinting races in gym class. As he awaits his turn, his thoughts keep turning back to Yuka. Up until now, he's been telling himself that he must have just been misunderstanding or overthinking something, but things have gotten to the point where he can't blow it off anymore. Maybe the start of these strange events was on his first day back in Karahito, when he got lost on a road he ought to have been familiar with. That day, he found himself in front of Nishimori's shrine, just below Yuka's residence. She appeared out of nowhere, then vanished in the blink of an eye. At the time, Kyoji thought she was just some kind of illusion. That was the only reasonable explanation he could come up with. So that probably wasn't an illusion after all. But if that's the case, what are Yuka and Gore? They appear and disappear so suddenly. No ordinary person can do that. He has to conclude that they're not ordinary people. Kyoji grimaces, but if they're not ordinary people, what are they? Kyoji, what's with you? Huh? You've been zoning out all morning. What, did you have another fight with Kazuyagi? No, that's not it. Seeing Shinta smile his carefree smile and tilt his head in that quizzical way of his makes Kyoji unsure where he actually is right now. This is reality. What happened yesterday was a dream. Things would be so much easier if he could actually convince himself of that. But that familiar world feels far away from his, like it's been cut off. Or maybe he's the one who's been cut off from the world. A gentle breeze blows by, stirring the branches. The schoolyard is alive with the voices of the students, the sound of a bell being kicked about, the sound of a ball being kicked about, and a teacher's blowing of a whistle. Yesterday I made a splint for a fractured arm and performed first aid on a man with a gun. Kyoji tries to recount the facts and nothing else, but putting it that way just makes it sound so trivial. He can already hear Shinta asking him, "So what?" The scent and chill of the rain, the dull sound of Yoshiki setting his bones back into place. Vivid memories of those things linger in Kyoji's heart. That scene was so raw that this peaceful one feels ephemeral, even fake by comparison. What's gotten into you? You're acting weird. What, do I have something stuck on my face? Shinta furrows his brow, looking unsettled. He didn't mean to stare at Shinta, but it seems he ended up doing so as his thoughts wandered off. No, there's nothing on your face. Kyoji shakes his head and fixes his gaze forward. He can't bring himself to talk about it right now. Shinta simply shrugs and turns his eyes to the track. Ah, there's Kazuyagi. The girls are running hurdles, it seems. Akane swings her limbs around. It looks like she's warming up. Should she really be doing this with her sprained ankle? But knowing Akane, she probably thinks some exercise might help her perk up. How does she feel about what happened yesterday? She texted him about Yoshiki last night, but this morning she didn't mention anything about it. Well, he could see how maybe the mood might have made her feel hesitant to talk to him about it. Maybe she's afraid to. Oh, maybe she's afraid too, rather. Maybe she feels the same sense of loss he does. Maybe she's also come to the strange realization that it is in fact reality, and what they thought was reality is in fact a lie. Maybe she's anxious that talking about it will make the other side feel more real instead, and so she holds her tongue. Akane hops on her long, slender legs. When the teacher blows the whistle, she bolts nimbly into the lead. You wouldn't believe she just hurt her ankle. Her hair trails after her in the wind. With spring-like movements, Akane hops over her first hurdle, then the second, and then the third. Kyoji narrows his eyes. The sight is an odd relief somehow. Akane's movements are effortless. There's a natural grace to them. Her legs move briskly. A fourth hurdle. A fifth. She runs, gliding through the air at just the right height to crest each hurdle. Shinta gives Kyoji a smirk. Kyoji, stop gawking at her. Let's go. It's our turn. Huh? I'm not gawking. He retorts reflexively, taken by surprise, but the moment he does, he hears a loud noise from behind. Ah? When he looks again, two of the hurdles in Akane have formed a heap. She clutches her leg, clearly in pain. She probably pushed her leg too far before it healed. Kyoji immediately hurries to her side. The PE teacher who got there first is already examining her leg. Akane's face is as white as a sheet. Don't worry, you're fine. You just scraped it a little. It doesn't look sprained. But Akane doesn't seem to hear a word the teacher's saying. Akane, are you all right? She reacts to Kyoji's voice and slowly looks up. Her lips are pale. Kyoji, what's wrong? I saw her. She was there. She holds up her finger, which shakes so violently it's almost impossible to see where she's pointing. It looks like a corner of the school building. Kyoji turns toward it. Akane's feeble voice reaches his ears. Why are Yuka-chan and that monster at our school? Kyoji bites his lips and runs off in pursuit. Hey, Kyoji! He hears Shinta call out to him from behind, but he doesn't stop. For one brief moment, he can see that familiar black cloth flapping around the corner of the school building. Why are they at school? No, more importantly, this time I'll rip that mask off his face. Okay, bro, good luck with that. Kyoji turns around the corner of the U-shaped building. This is the same spot where he once got into a brawl with Sadashima. There's no one there. He looks around. All he sees are sunburnt ginkgo trees. The back of the school annex is silent and empty. It's so anticlimactic, Kyoji feels all the tension drain from his body. It's just as serene here as in the schoolyard. In fact, it's quieter than usual. Too quiet, even. The fact class is still in session is certainly a factor, but it's so silent it almost makes Kyoji's ears buzz. If he goes a bit down the fence from here, he'll reach the back gate. Maybe the two of them left through there. Or maybe Akane was mistaken to begin with. It did seem like Gore scared her. If Kyoji thinks about it rationally, she might be so frightened of him that she's starting to see him all over the place. But Kyoji walks on towards the back, only to immediately gulp. Are you looking for someone, perhaps? Searching for somebody, you are! Okay, Yoda. Something colder than ice coils around his neck. A stench sears his nostrils. He can't tell exactly what it is, only that it's disgusting. Something sticky clings to his back as a voice like grinding metal speaks into his ear. Does what you're looking for happen to be one pretty cute and very sexy Gore-kun? What? Kyoji crashes, trying to shake him off. He throws a kick behind him, but it only slices through the air as Gore takes a long leap backward. A real kick, a real mighty kick. It's rich and flavorful. It has a real bite to it. It's got a real kick to it. Too bad it missed, though. Yuka peeks out from behind Gore and waves briskly at Kyoji. Don't fuck with me! Although his words leave his throat in a menacing growl, chills still run down his spine. When Gore clung to his body, it felt as though all his blood had drained into his feet. He imagines that must be what it feels like to be sent plunging into abyss. An abyss, rather. No, it's more like being dropped naked into a pit of worms or snakes, as if something were clinging to every inch of his body all over. That visceral feeling of disgust and revulsion resonates on an instinctual level. As though he were enshrouded in the darkness of ancient times before the existence of light, then forced to endure the rancid breath of some ravenous predator. He wants nothing more than to curl up right there and release all this despair with a scream. Yet Kyoji restrains his impulses, desperately keeping up his brave front. What are you two doing here? His voice is trembling, but it's the best he can manage. Gore hops up and down energetically. No point hiding it. No point at all. Your voice is shaking. Your body's quivering. You're shivering. As irritating as Gore's laughter is, the sheer terror it makes Kyoji feel is far more intense. It makes Kyoji want to turn around and run for his life. But he feels like betraying his fear now would be tantamount to admitting defeat. Why does he have to feel so terribly afraid of this ridiculous man? It's as if the terror of yesterday's illusion, if you can even call it that, still blinds his body and spirit. That realization only serves to make his anger flare up instead. No, he doesn't like that idea at all. He can't let a guy like this break his spirit. What did you come here for, you freaks? He clenches his fists and shouts loudly and deliberately, forcing his voice from the pit of his stomach held steel his nerves a little. Ugh, that again. You keep asking the same questions, Kyoji. I'm getting bored of you. Very bored, super bored. Girls like a guy with variety, the spice of life. Shut up and stop fucking with me. I'm not. I told you already. I just came here to see you. What, is that not allowed? It seems like they're going in circles, so Kyoji rephrases the question. What did you do to him? What did I do to whom? To who? To whom? To whom? I said stop making fun of me. What did you do to him? To Yatsusei-san. Oh, you mean Yoshiki. The way Yuka casually calls him by his given name makes it sound like he's nothing but a baby compared to her. She curls her lips up into a smug smirk. Oh, whatever did I do with him? You want to know? How come? The moment she asks him that question, all the terror he somehow manages to suppress until now feels like it's creeping up from beneath him and violently washes over his body, making him shiver. Yuka looks at him, curiously cocking her head, and takes a step forward. Huh? What's wrong? You look a little green around the gills. Green indeed, as green as a summer meadow, green as a deep blue sea. Stay back. He's not alright. Yoshiki, with his great guitar skills and eternally wisecracking expression, is definitely not alright. I said stay away from me. He slaps away Yuka's extended hand. For a moment, Yuka looks a little hurt. It makes Kyoji falter for a moment. But then another girl's face flashes through his mind, and his next words leave his mouth on their own. If you lay a hand on Akane, I'll never forgive you. So never show your face in front of me or Akane again, you got that? That face with Akane is full of fear in the schoolyard. Whenever she gets involved with these two, she gets hurt. For one long moment, Yuka silently stares into Kyoji's face before she heaves a deep sigh. She then starts curling a finger around a strand of her long wavy hair, toiling with it. Akane, she must really be important to you, hmm? Her mocking tone causes a burning blush to wash over Kyoji's cheeks. So, what if I do? You're such a downer. Huh? He jolts. Yuka mutters the words in a low, almost inaudible voice, as if her whisper is only directed at herself. Kyoji can only just barely hear her. But the moment he does, it feels like all the sound completely drains from this already silent place. What are you thinking? Go on, say it. Tell me what you're thinking. If you do anything to Akane, I'll never forgive you. I'll kill you if it's the last thing I do. Kyoji aggressively snaps at her, but Yuka simply continues to smile with those bottomless eyes of hers. She then turns her back on Kyoji with the air of a child throwing away a toy she's grown bored of. Gore, we're going home. Yuka, floating above the ground, follows Gore. Really? She's flying. Okay. His black mantle flaps in his wake. Hey, hold up! Wait, I said wait! Kyoji starts to chase after them. The fingers of his outstretched hand come within mere millimeters of Yuka's slender shoulder, but that's as far as they get. Kyoji tenses and stops in his tracks. A black shadow is cut between him and Yuka. Gore imposingly looks down at Kyoji with colorless, dim, plastic-like eyes. Some part of Kyoji feels as though he should spit a defiant question at Gore. But Kyoji can only stand frozen in place, speechless. It feels like he's been cast into deep darkness, as if he's still trapped in that bomb shelter with Akane. No, as if he's been cast into an even deeper and more unfathomable darkness. As Kyoji stands rooted in place, Gore stares for some time before his lips lift into a smile. He then turns around and follows after Yuka. The two of them turn past the corner of the building and disappear. How long has Kyoji been standing there? He's petrified. The most intense fear he's ever felt in his life keeps his limbs bound and his body rooted in place. He hears a bird's distant chirping from a nearby treetop. As that sound reaches his ears, a slight breeze blows past and makes Kyoji realize his body is wet with cold sweat. God damn it! Apparently he's been holding his breath this whole time, too. That curse slips from his lips as he lets all the stale air out from his lungs. God damn those two! He's terribly vexed. All it took for that ridiculous creature to utterly petrify him was to glare at him. His cowardice frustrates him to no end. He kicks the ground twice and a third time for good measure. He then throws a dirty glance in the direction of their exit. He knows that it's impossible to win a fight with a broken spirit. Yoshiki stood up to them, even with a broken arm. Plus, he knows where they live. Yoshiki probably went straight to that mansion. Could Kyoji really just sit on his hands knowing that? Is he going to sit there and let those two walk all over him? This isn't over. Mark my words. Kyoji growls ferociously. After that, classes seemed to fly by in no time. Even though he pretty much ran off in the middle of PE class, he ended up taking less heat for it than he expected. But when he came back, Shinta told him in a whisper that he had a scary look on his face, which shook Kyoji quite a bit. If Shinta, of all people, is the one telling Kyoji that, he must look really scary and unapproachable. Indeed, until classes ended, no one seemed to have the courage to speak to him. Even Akane only gave him an occasional troubled glance, refusing to approach him. He roughly stuffed his things into his bag and gets to his feet. But as he is about to open the classroom door, slender fingers touch his forearm. It's Akane. She looks up at him with an earnest expression. I'm coming with you. He hadn't told her anything. Nor did he plan on going back to that mansion, nor what happened during PE. Coming with me? You mean you're following me? I'm on my way to... But Akane cuts him off with a nervous laugh. What? It's just, you never change. What do you mean I never change? Whenever you try to lie, you always pout and furrow your brow, Akane says, giggling all the while. Her words cause him to bring a hand to his mouth. Indeed, he realizes he's making such an expression. You're going to Yuka-chan's house, right? That must be where Yatsuse-san went. It's on your mind, right? You can't just sit idly by. So I'm coming with you. It seems Akane has been reading him like an open book from the beginning. But Kyoji shakes his head. You can't. Why not? Because... It's not a reason. Whenever you don't have anything to say, you always... Hey, could you maybe get out of the way? Come to think of it, they've been blocking the door this whole time. Sorry. Sorry, we'll get out of the way. They hurriedly step outside. They resume their exchanges, a slight awkwardness now hanging between them. You can't come with me because you just can't, so don't. Fine, we won't go together then. I'll just go on my own. So that's how she wants to play it, huh? Kyoji sighs reluctantly. It's dangerous. How's it dangerous? You don't know what we'll find there. And you're going into that kind of place alone? That's exactly why I'm going there alone. It makes no sense. What happens if you go there by yourself and something happens to you? Like what? Something dangerous, obviously. You said it yourself. The two of them glare at each other for a moment. Who was shaking like a leaf because she saw Yuka, Akane goes red. I was not shaking. Stop exaggerating things. I was just a little surprised is all. Oh, really? You call that being a little surprised? Oh, shut up. I'm not scared of her anymore. I can't let her bother me forever. Just stay away from there. You think I'm joking? I'm coming with you. I said don't. Then who's gonna stop you from running headlong into danger? Did you forget I was the only one who could keep up with your stupid games when we were kids? Kyoji stiffens, surprised. She's right that he was a pretty rambunctious punk when they were little. Still, she was always right along with him the whole way. Even when Shinta was too scared to follow Kyoji, Akane would go along. Whether it was running or climbing trees or swimming, Akane never shied away from a challenge, and that's exactly why. I can't let her come with, but the thing is, say he decided to leave her behind. This is Akane he's dealing with. He wouldn't put it past her to just go to Yuka's mansion alone. She's just as bad at backing down as he is. He can't stand seeing her resign herself to being afraid of Yuka. After all, he's vexed with himself for feeling that way earlier today. After thinking about it for a while, he lets out a deep sigh. Fine. But we won't actually go into the mansion. We'll just scope things out from outside. The truth is, he planned to go inside and interrogate the two, but with Akane coming along, he decides that would be a bad idea. And it is terribly reckless after all. Yoshiki got hurt bad. If he ended up like that because he confronted Yuka and Gore, that means approaching them is definitely dangerous. Knowing Akane will be coming with him causes him to realize that, which cools his head somewhat. If that's decided, let's go. Akane nods vigorously and sets off ahead of him. Stop running ahead, stupid. Kyoji moves quickly, catching up to her. It's only been a few days since they last visited the mansion. Just as they remember it, it's surrounded by foliage, giving it the air of some kind of hideout. The sun has yet to set, which makes this clearing a solitary bright spot in the otherwise dark woods. Despite that, the house seems almost desolate. A heavy, sticky sort of atmosphere hangs in the air. This place is still just as creepy as ever. Yeah. The two exchange a glance before taking a slow step forward. It doesn't feel like anyone's around. The area is completely silent, as if even the wind itself refuses to blow in this place. They stop before coming to the front door. So what do we do? Good question. He tries to peer in through a small window beside the door, but just like a few days ago, all he can see is a silent, dark room stretched out before him without a soul in sight. Where is Gore, Yuka, or Yuka's mother? Where is Yoshiki, for that matter? Let's try to go around back. Right. They sneak around the mansion. Kyoji's heart is pounding like it's gonna burst. His pulse roars in his ears. Maybe it's because of how quiet this place is. Their footsteps seem terribly loud. What are they going to say if they get caught here? If they meet Yuka's mother, it seems relatively normal they should be able to talk their way out of it. But if they meet Yuka, heaven forbid, or if they run into Gore, they'll be in trouble. No, he can't let them break his spirit. That's exactly why they mock him. As those thoughts swirl in his mind, he and Akane make it to the back of the mansion. There's what appears to be the kitchen door, but it looks disused as it's covered with thick vines. The weeds have grown so dense and thick that he and Akane struggle to walk through them. At some point, without realizing it, they started holding hands. Her palm feels slightly clammy against his. Doesn't look like anyone's home. They end up circling back around to the front door. Kyoji cocks his head, disappointed. I guess we can't really tell from outside. Akane seems to be deep in thought. Her expression is grim, her eyes fixed on a spot on the ground. What's wrong, Akane? I was just thinking. How do the people who live here cook? Huh? Okay, and on that note, we are on the hour. That's all we've got for Halloween on Gore Screaming Show. I will be bringing Gore Screaming Show back in December. We are doing a completely new month, and it won't require Gore Screaming Show. But next month, December, we'll probably round out Gore Screaming Show, like we'll finish the path. So if you guys want to find out exactly what's going on, please go to Jast USA or Steam or GOG and buy a copy of the Gore Screaming Show. All right, at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner, or Visual Novel Corner, with more Gore Screaming Show in December. We'll see you later.